This morning you heard us open our service with the Pentecost message from Acts 2. The Holy Spirit had descended upon all those that were gathered as with tongues of fire through a wind, reaching out and touching every person in every place and putting them to motion. And this morning I would ask you to just imagine for a minute what it would be like if we were sitting here and suddenly the doors of this church blew open. The doors of this church blew open and a rush of wind come flying in. I mean, how would you feel? And I think, I don't know about you, but I'd be startled and wonder what was happening, thinking, oh no, there's a tornado or something like that. But if that wind come in and it was a divided tongue of fire, if you will, just reaching out and touching every person on this side of the church and on this side of the church, and then all of a sudden feel something that strangely warmed our heart and put a fire in our heart that told us that, you know, we're supposed to go out. We're supposed to go out. We're supposed to do something because this has happened. We're supposed to do something because this indeed is the Holy Spirit that has touched our hearts. This Holy Spirit has commissioned us to go out and to make disciples and to share the word in a way that every person understands. Not just those who are like us, but share the word in a way that every person understands. They had a fire that had been lit in their heart by the Holy Spirit, and they were empowered to go out and to tell the truth through the Word of God. And then we know, as we read further in Acts, what kind of impact that had and how many believers came into the church. And we'll discuss that over these next coming Sundays. But this morning I invite you now to let your hearts be prepared to receive the gospel according to John from chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of the living water." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, in somewhat of a rhetorical manner, I ask you this question today. Have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever been thirsty? And when I ask you that question, I want you to think about it just for a minute. What does it feel like? You know, that parched throat or just a dusty throat or something that is going on, to where you just really have that desire to quench your thirst. Maybe it's after a hot day or after a long day of work or working in the garden, or perhaps it's exercise. But that desire that you have to quench your thirst, really, it's hard to describe, but we know that it's there and we know that we need to do something about it. And we know that if we don't do something about it, it's only going to get worse. And that immediately upon doing something about it, it gets better. When we have that sense, there's nothing better, in my opinion, than a nice, cold glass of quenching, soothing, satisfying ice water. Just can't get any better than that. Whenever you've reached that point where you're just really experiencing that thirst. Now, there's a lot of times, though, we think something else will quench our thirst. But generally, anything else we try just doesn't have that same effect. Now, if you're like me, then I'm addicted to Coca-Cola. I mean, when it's hot, when I want something to drink, I want to get a cold can of Coca-Cola. I mean, that's what really does it for me. Not the bottles, but a can, because they really get cold. Hold that can, drink my Coca-Cola. And I know there's some Sun Drop addicts in here as well. I won't call them out. There's some sweet tea addicts in here as well that I won't call out. And then there are some that like Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper. And then, of course, the variety of diet drinks. And the thing is, we like them because they've got that sweet taste. They're attractive. They've got that sweet taste. But they just don't do the same trick as water. They don't do that same trick as water. Now, I ask you this. Have you ever given much thought to spiritual thirst? To what it means to be spiritually thirsty. If you think about it just for a minute, about what it means to be thirsty in spirit, and we think about quenching that thirst, Don't we often try the same things that I just mentioned about quenching our physical thirst? Don't we sometimes reach out and try to get things that are representative of those soft drinks and those tea? I mean, really, how many times have we tried to reach out for something sweet to quench our spiritual thirst, and it just doesn't quite do the trick? How many times have we tried to feed some kind of desire or longing with the things of this world, you know, with that sweet thing rather than the thing that's going to make a difference, that living water? Maybe we're lonely, and maybe we seek relationships in the wrong places. Or maybe we're missing something in our life, so we figure, you know what, we need to go out and buy something. Maybe that'll make us feel better if we go out and buy something. Or maybe we have a need for fellowship or friendship, so we go to ball games on Sunday mornings instead of going to church. Or maybe we have a desire to read or to learn something new. Now, there's a place for that, but we do it at the expense of reading the Bible. Maybe I've read 10 books this month over the summer. And if I come back and ask you, well, how much time did you spend in the Bible? Well, then you probably don't answer that question, or there's a lot of people that won't answer that question. So we're looking for that sweet taste of the physical world, the world that we live in, because we've become so conformed to that we often lose sight of what it is that really quenches our spiritual thirst. But in the end, what happens is that we're still thirsty because we've tried to quench our thirst with things of this world. Well, in the gospel reading this morning, Jesus gives us the imagery. He paints himself as the imagery of water, of a living water that has been provided to quench your spiritual thirst. In Revelation 21:66, we hear, "To all who are thirsty, I will give the springs of the water of life freely." Brothers and sisters, we're here today being reminded that our Savior Jesus Christ is the only one who can quench our thirst and to provide for the needs that we have. So we might be asking what this has to do with the Pentecost. Well, I'm getting there. It's going to take me a minute to get there, but I'm going to bring up another analogy this morning, kind of an example. Some of you have probably wondered why I've got this bag in here. Well, I can remember days in the not-too-distant past, and I'm slowly getting back, but days in the not-too-distant past when I competed as a runner in some long-distance marathons, trail races, and even got crazy a couple times and did the 40-mile type runs. I want to ask you a question, because I know the answer to this one. Next to God and next to my family, who do you think was the most important person for me at those races? Next to God and my family, who do you think was the most important person to me or persons at those races? Anybody want to guess? You want to try? Huh? The aid station workers, the ones who supplied water. It was the aid station workers. They were godsend. Now, on the easy runs, even long distance, but the easy runs, I mean, every 2 miles you'd have an aid station. I mean, and those were what I call the easy runs. But on the hard runs, the ones that got challenging, those aid stations were anywhere from 4 to 10 miles apart. Anywhere from 4 to 10 miles apart were those aid stations. Now, normally I carry things with me along the way, but it's not enough. When I go out on a 40-mile run, this is what I carry. I've got a 20-ounce bottle of fluid, Gatorade mixed with water. I mean, mostly water, just a little bit of Gatorade. And let's see, I'm afraid to open this up, but I might. Let's see what's in here. I might get embarrassed, I don't know. Jelly beans for a little bit of quick sugar fixes. Energy gel that basically carbohydrates, because I can't carry a pizza with me, so that works. And normally I have about 4 of those. And, well, we know what that's for. But that's it. That's what I carry with me. Well, on these races that I run, I mean, obviously that's not enough for 40 miles. So I approached these aid stations, and I got nourished, I got replenished, I got renewed, if you will. Because whenever I got there, I had a sense of joy knowing, okay, my needs are being met. And I relied on them so much that I even used them to break down the race into segments. That, well, if I can make it this 8 miles, then I've got another 8 mile step. So I broke it down into a journey. Well, brothers and sisters, is that really not what life's about? We break our life down into journey. I mean, you school teachers, I know it. You've got your first semester and your second semester and whatever the other semesters are, and then we got summertime. So, each year is a journey. You break your life down into cycles. We do that with our Christian liturgical calendar. Today marks the end of the Easter season. We just come out of Lent before that. We've got Pentecost. We're getting ready to start into the ordinary time of the time after Easter. We'll roll back over into Advent later in the year. We've got a lot of different things going on. But we're broken down into segments, and we break our life into the journeys in a lot of sense. But I want you to think just for a minute about Pentecost. Pentecost commissioned the body of Christ and commissioned the church to be those aid stations to help quench the spiritual thirst on life's journey. While we each carry things with us along the way, we do. We carry things with us. We've got friends, family, needs are being met. We still need that extra. So I ask you, how many times have you come into this church, perhaps, with some burden, some worry, some fear, some hurt, only to leave feeling a little bit better? Or how many times has a friend, perhaps, offered you some words of encouragement, words of God of encouragement at a difficult time in your life, and then you felt just a little bit better? Well, do you not think that this might be a Christian as an agent of God or an aid station worker offering a taste of the water of life, which is the only way that our thirst can be quenched? We think just for a minute about that living water, that water of life, the things of importance from God that matter. Well, brothers and sisters, there are those out there today that are thirsty. There are those out there today that their basic needs are not being met. Their basic spiritual needs are not being met. And as people travel up and down Highway 200, here's a place to where they know they can stop and be replenished and be renewed and be refreshed and to be have their thirst quenched. It's a physical reminder of a place where God exists, the Holy Spirit exists, to where they can come into this place and feel that same thing that we each feel on Sundays. We have today that visible reminder of Christ's presence into the world. But also you, as a member of the body of Christ, you've got that opportunity to take it out. And I kind of compare that to what it is whenever I run races. If I run a road race, those aid stations are visible and marked. They got pretty tables all set up. And every 2 miles you can stop and get a cup of water, throw it in the trash can and keep on going, or fill your bottle up. But when I'm out running a long distance trail race, those aid stations are out in the middle of nowhere. And just suddenly you climb a mountain or come out of a valley, and all of a sudden they're there. And it's just people. They've got little bags or whatever, and they hand you something, or you go up and it's self-service, but they're just there. Well, you as a body of Christ, us as a body of Christ, as Christians, we have that ability to go to where people hurt. Now, I'm not saying go out and stand on street corners, but the people that you encounter in your life each day, you can offer that living water. When they're having that bad day, you can pick them up by offering them encouraging words from God. Or just simply by saying, I love you. I don't know what it is that you experience right now. I don't know what your journey is like in your life. But what I can tell you is that I love you. I accept you the way that you are. And then I will be glad to walk that journey with you. To me, that's part of the message that we got on Pentecost. Today, we know there are people who thirst. And we can do something about it if we choose to do that. We can do something about it. Jesus said this. He said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. And let the one who believes in me drink. And as the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Out of the believer's heart, you all, shall flow the rivers of living water. So there is no reason that anyone's thirst is not quenched. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.